Good morning, Little Saigon. It's September the 8th, 2019. Are you ready to take a trip? Are you ready to take a trip? Are you ready to visit those lands and places beyond the great sea? It's early as fuck. It's 5:30 in the morning on a Sunday. In about an hour, I'll be heading to church. And as always, I find myself trying to walk in the path of Christ, but chased by the devil. And I think many of us are chased by the devil. I don't know, folks. I'm in a weird place these days. I imagine that some of you are wondering what happens next. And if you believe the great tale of the financial engineers of old, the ones that told the steel workers not to worry about the cold, the one that told the auto workers that their jobs would simply change, the one that told the dogs don't worry about the mange, those ancient bankers and financiers, they sold us a fucking load of malarkey. They told us about the coming global dawn of globalism, where every job was outsourced and every Walmart was full of gumbus juice. Those prophets of profit, those forecasters of the coming monetary utopia, told us not to worry about the pillars of smoke in the distance. They told us that those pillars of smoke were nothing to be concerned about. They said that in every pillar of smoke, there's some type of Keynesian jobs program. And with the Hegelian unraveling of the final stage, when every job is someplace else and every good is for someone else, they said that everything would be free. They said the streets would be clean. They told us there'd be train tunnels under the Atlantic to take us from New York to Paris in 90 minutes. At least that's what Steely Dan said. Maybe that was all a lie. Maybe there was going to be no wheel in the sky. So many promises made, so many forecasts of the future, so many magical technologies. You know, my dad used to tell me stories about when he got out of the service after World War II, reading Popular Mechanic stories about the helicopter future. He would tell me that in the future, everyone would have a helicopter. Everyone would have a helicopter parked in their parking spot and would take their helicopter to work. Except that never happened either. I've been on this planet over 75 million klen, which in Earther years is approximately 50 years. I've been told every other month that fusion energy is almost here. I've been told every other week the robot apocalypse will soon arrive. I'm told that we can turn algae into oil, that we can harvest and rape the earth until there's nothing left, that 3 or 5% growth of the human population year on year, 3 or 5% growth of the economy, 3 or 5% growth of consumption is totally something the earth can handle. But this is related to the coming epic, because we were promised this. Like, if you think about the history of modern capitalism, I'm not talking about free enterprise. For those of you who believe in liberty, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about this quasi-free enterprise, this modern financialized, mostly proto-Stalinistic central bank bullshit. A phenomena of the 20th century. And this disease of the 20th century, this belief that you can have a cadre of super smart bankers picking interest rates and deciding which parts of your economy will succeed or fail at some super macro scale, this belief that such people should exist, ought to exist, and can exist, is completely fallacious. But that's part of the promise. They promised us. It's a lot like Marxism. When you think about it, the basic message of modern financialized capitalism, the basic message of the current crony market that we live in, the kleptocracy of bullshit, is that if you hang on long enough, and if you hang on long enough and keep taking your Gronkus pills from the Dr. Zed and keep buying your Glumbus cubes at Walmart, if you hang on long enough and the tumors don't eat you alive, that sometime in the future things will get magical. All the streets will be cleaning themselves. The rat farm next door will disappear. The rat farm will go away in the future. That's right, in the future the rat farm will go away. The streets will be clean. No one will have any disease. You won't need money because food will be free. In the future, you'll travel at the speed of light everywhere you want to go. The future is going to be amazing. That's the essential vision, the final vision of the secular philosophy known as financialized capitalism. And interestingly enough, that is also the eternal vision of Marxists, that at some point in the future you'll achieve perfect communism and technology and humanity will unite in some perfection and we'll all get to have sex and drink beer and fuck ourselves to oblivion while watching movies for free. And none of this is likely to happen. What's more likely to happen in either case, whether what we're talking about is Marxism, 20th century financialized banker capitalism, or isn't it kind of the same thing? Whichever version of this we're talking about, it all ends in the same way. It ends in a prison camp. It ends on the road to serfdom. All of these stories end the same. Now, here's the deal. I'm not saying that your life can't improve. Frankly, throughout history, the main impact of technology has been deflation. It's been to reduce costs. It's been to make things easier for people, especially poor people. But in the last 200 years, people have tried to convince you that inflation is good. And deflation is bad. But actually, it's the opposite. In the Marxist-slash-financialized capitalistic world, inflation means your economy's growing, it's growing, your housing prices keep going up, you keep stacking and stacking, and everything's great because you're making money, you're making 5 or 10 or 18% year on year. Yeah, that's make-believe bullshit. And it's the same kind of make-believe bullshit that, you know, the Soviets would do. I mean, it's not that different than a fucking Soviet Goss plan telling the Russian people how many fucking color TV sets they're going to get in 1974. It's one of these make-believe promises. It's a cargo cult promise. I mean, I will say this. With respect to the banking system, they have proven that their model of control, of repression, is more efficient than Stalinist central planning. But it's still central planning. It's just that instead of monitoring or controlling every tractor and every car and every TV set, what you do instead is you just set the value of money. And then you tell people they can't use actual money. Which is to say, you say you can use this magical script. And we're going to choose what this script does in certain parts of the economy. In some parts of the economy, it's going to be inflationary. In some parts of the economy, it will be deflationary. And we as the magical central bankers will just play our little games. So yeah, it's not the same as the five-year plan. But it's still pretty fucked up when you think about it. And I hate to get back to it, but it's true. It makes the same promise that the Marxists make. The Brave New World banker future makes the same fucking promise that if you play by the rules, if you do the right things, if you're a good little slave, you'll get the payoff. The payoff of the coming epic. The payoff of the time beyond this time when everything will be set out on a table of abundance. They'll call it the infinite cornucopia economy. Of course, for this infinite cornucopia economy of financialized banker bliss, we're gonna have to sell some bonds. You're going to have to buy these bonds. They're going to call them magical utopian cornucopia bonds. They will have a maturation period of 250 years. This is the approximate time in the future that Dr. Blinktus of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York figured out that we will achieve perfect post-scarcity and infinite loving goodness for all peoples, despite their status or how much gimbus they have stuck in their fucking colon. Yes, in the time to come, the great time to come, we will all have our cubes. Bioslurry will be available for free. Everyone gets to eat on Tuesday in the year 2042. Everyone gets to eat on Tuesday. Everyone gets to drink water on Wednesday. Yeah, so that's the thing. Even though, especially the communists will tell you, we don't believe the same thing that the capitalists believe. And here's the thing, folks. In an actual free society, in an actual free market, people can trade peer to peer, which means human to human. It doesn't mean going through a blockchain network and having all of your financial information with your public key on a ledger for all time. That's not what I'm talking about, folks. If you think that the quote-unquote, sarcastically quoted, blockchain and cryptos are your key to liberty and freedom, I think you're being cucked. I think you're being fooled. I think you're being gaslighted by the central banks. That's the truth. But like I said, they make the same fucking promise. In fact, when you think about it, Bitcoin and cryptos are almost like that final Hegelian vomit bomb from the infinite French bulldog. When you're supposed to like achieve the perfection of capitalism, but it hasn't quite worked out yet, so give the youth these fucking stupid electronic Furbies to search after. Let them expand the Merkle tree while spending money. It'll be a Keynesian program, sure. You're gonna boil a lot of water. You're gonna boil a lot of water making those coins. And I use that in a figurative sense. The amount of energy being used to generate cryptos is ridiculous. It's energy that could be used to be doing other things. At this point in human history, there are other things we should be using energy for. No offense to all the fucking crypto miners and collectors out there. But if you think there's a reason why I should think your Bitcoin should be worth a million, go fuck yourself. It might be worth zero, but it's not worth $1 million. And if it ends up being worth $1 million, it's only because $1 million will buy you a ham sandwich. And try using your Bitcoin on that day to buy that ham sandwich. And if someone else has a silver coin and you have a Bitcoin, and God forbid the electricity on Wednesday goes out because in 2036, everyone gets electricity on Friday. Nobody gets electricity on Wednesday. See, here's the thing, folks. For you to believe in the crypto capitalist financialized future, that somehow this upside down reality through some type of reverso road to root A bullshit, because there's a magical fucking Grand Canyon of gold someplace. If you believe this shit, fine. But I'm gonna let you on a little secret, folks. The world itself, not God, but the world itself is probably finite. And why would I say something crazy like that? Because by definition, if you believe in God, there can be no other infinity in the universe. It is simply a logical fact. You can't have two gods if you believe in one God, and you can't have two infinities. So whatever you want to say about the earth, it is logically, in my view, if you're a Christian, provably, if you're a Christian, a finite place. It doesn't mean God isn't kind, but the earth is here in part to teach us lessons. We got kicked out of paradise. We could have grown there, we could have matured there. There might have been a different history. A lot like 1 Samuel chapter 8, we chose wrongly. We chose wrongly. It was a branch in sequence. You know, the Hebrews in 1 Samuel chapter 8 could have said, no, actually, kings are bullshit. And let's move on. Let's just get better at running our own affairs and having only one king, and that's the king in heaven. They could have done that. They could have said, we don't need a king on earth. Why would we? We have a Lord in heaven. But nope. They wanted their fancy, shiny king because they wanted their fancy, shiny armies. They wanted their fancy, shiny armies and their fancy, shiny navies. And what they didn't realize is what they were asking for was a giant, fancy, shiny gilded cage. It's a lie, folks. What the Marxists are promising you today, what Bernie Sanders promises you, what Ocasio-Cortez do blah 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 promises you, what these idiot leftists promise you is a lie. But equally so, what these neocon bullshit artists, what these crazy Keynesian firebombers, what these Krugman-esque white phosphorus droppers aren't telling you is that their vision is equally dangerous and stupid. It makes no sense to simply pour fuel into your engine to run it. The basic philosophy of Keynesianism is I should have my car in my garage on a treadmill 24 hours a day. I should put my car on a treadmill and just have it running forever. God forbid it stops. God forbid my automobile takes a rest. Just put it on a treadmill and have it run at 3,000 RPM forever. Better yet, if it ever does have mechanical issues, don't stop the car. Just turn on the nitrous injector. And if it starts smoking again, don't stop the car. Just turn on the fucking turbocharger. And as that little temperature gauge tells you shit's going crazy, and as the vehicle starts shaking to pieces because you will never let it stop, just change the cassette tape. Put in some Bee Gees. Maybe some Beach Boys. Probably Metallica. And that'll cover up any noise from that noisy engine. A lot like social justice warrior bullshit. I mean, if you think about all this ridiculous, stupid, deconstructed cultural bullshit that's going on right now, it really does work if you want to keep people's eyes off the hands of the magician. To keep people's eyes off the hands of the magician. You focus on the head, focus on the face, don't look at the hands. I do not know why people have come to believe that our economy is an engine that can never stop. But what I will tell you is that things that can never stop ultimately do. And if you're going to run an engine like this, the way it will stop is one of two ways. It will seize up because it overheats, or it will explode because it overheats. In either case, the whole economy grinds to a halt. See, this is the part of the story, and I talked about this in a previous podcast, but this is the part of the story from 2008 where I think they were telling the truth. In all of their lies, in all their banker lies, and Bush talking about how we have to destroy capitalism to save it bullshit, in all their fucking lies to steal money, to basically rape the American people a little bit more, the bankers inadvertently told a little bit of truth. In 2008, our financial system probably was on the verge of seizing up. Like that automobile in your garage that you don't just park and turn off, but you leave running all the time on a treadmill, because God forbid you turn the car off, that'd be crazy. The central bankers are trying to convince you that we can never turn the car off. That all the externalities, all the job transfers, all the fucking weirdness and deformities are just normal things, and we should just accept it. Of course, that would be like an oncologist telling their patient that all the weird distortions and bulbuses and masses, ignore those. Those aren't tumors. That's just outsourcing. Your liver's outsourcing to new tissue. That those aren't tumors, that's just offshoring. Those aren't tumors, that's just the economic dislocation and transference. No, those aren't tumors, that's just comparative advantage. Please read this article from the FEE.org, because those aren't tumors, that's just, you know, the global economy. Yeah. You see, that's the thing. I'm focusing on the final stage because I think that we're in that place in time where the financial engineers 100 years ago told us, if you give us total control, we'll give you total utopia. But folks, here in little Saigon, it's just getting greasier and greasier. And while your smart device, your smartphone, that ironically named electronic rectangle, might be telling you things are great, it might also be lying to you. The little voices on your app might be telling you lies. I know you find that hard to believe. You wake up each morning and grab your toast and avocado. You stare out to a gumbo sky of gray ugliness over Seattle. You wake up and you pull your French bulldog out of its cage. His name is Granuli. You take old Granny for a walk. He howls into the morning sky, but you are too ignorant to hear him howl. You and Granny walk the streets and see the scrumbus and scrumbly folk. You see the detritus of a dying world, but the little rectangle tells you the future's near. You walk near a storefront that was once open. On a sign it says space available. Space available. And you wonder to yourself, I see that sign a lot these days, space available. And you say to yourself, I wonder if they are hiring. Because space available seems to be the biggest company in America now. We are at that stage where, if you believe the bullshit in 1913, and frankly, folks, do your own research about the Federal Reserve. Do your own research about the income tax and where it came from. Do your own research about those years, the years around 1913. These were very dark years. And I don't mean dark in terms of human progress. If these bankers had simply not fucked the system, the world would be a very different place today. But again, I don't think they could avoid it. They had to do it. It was part of their philosophy. I don't know how anyone with a scientific background would believe that you could have an infinitely growing world economy. That doesn't make any sense. Even if you could become carbon neutral, the net effect would be to ravage the earth. And this whole idea that we can pick one variable and choose not to push that one button, and somehow we can have 10 billion people or 50 billion people, that's fucking crazy. You can stack us in giant fucking towers, you can reclaim the earth, but the net effect of that many apex predators on planet Earth, even if we're all eating soybean, will be total fucking destruction. The planet still heats up. Civilization is a heat engine. And the decision to run it super hot, white hot, which is what the bankers have sold us on, was a decision to burn out the world. Now, as a Christian, all this makes perfect sense to me. I don't know the full story, only God does. I can't tell you the full story. But if you're an atheist or you just simply aren't into religion, please still research the birth of the Federal Reserve because this thing came into existence in a very dark and nefarious way, promising an end to all business cycles. But in reality, after the Federal Reserve came into existence, we didn't just have horrible business cycles, we had horrible wars. In fact, the giant credit card enabled these wars. So I don't know, folks. Believe what you will in this early morning time, but I think you need to give up on this belief that this cargo cult called the financialization economy is going to deliver. It might deliver to some people. It's kind of like what I said in that other podcast, written on the back of every special check from the crocodile, and it's probably written in Latin and etched in blood, is the following: ignore the pillars of smoke in the distance. That's how you sleep at night, if you have a soul. If you're taking money from the crocodile, if you're making money off of these shelter schemes, and when I say shelter schemes, let me be blunt. If we treated food or water the way we currently treat homes, we would be basically having probably almost everybody starving in the streets and dying of thirst. You would have a few people selling water bottles, you know, a fucking $100 a liter, and you'd have a lot of people starving and dying of thirst. You'd have people selling a cheeseburger for $1,000, and you'd have people starving and dying of thirst. If we treated food and water the way we treat shelter currently in America, yeah, it would be even more dystopian than it is. And it's dystopian enough. Food, water, and shelter for human beings are not negotiable items. They're based upon environment and ecosystem. And since a lot of people, like most people in America, technically 80% of Americans live in an urban or semi-urban environment, food, water, and shelter means a safe place you can sleep with a roof over your head. It doesn't mean some cardboard and a tarp. I'm sorry. Wake the fuck up. Okay, the air is toxic in these cities. The water is toxic in these cities. You know, in the drainage areas. The streets are not a safe place for anybody to sleep. And let me add one other thing before I close out this podcast. Going back to that wonderful Como documentary, Seattle is Dying. Wasn't it interesting that it was a white dude that was picked out as the exemplar of everything shitty? I'm going to let you on a little secret, folks. When I walk around Little Saigon, I see a lot of homeless people, but I can't honestly say there's any one ethnicity that dominates. But I will be blunt, it does seem like mostly a lot of immigrants who end up in the streets become the bulk of the homeless population. That was not the message of this fucking Seattle is Dying. They didn't spend a lot of time talking about illegal, you know, illegals essentially mowing lawns or driving trucks. They didn't really spend a lot of time on illegal Ethiopians driving trucks at the fucking port facility. That's interesting. No conversations of Somalis driving trucks at the port facility, probably mostly illegal. No conversation about that. No conversation about the Home Depot workers who also end up being in the streets, but interestingly enough, get most of the social support. Yeah, no conversation about that or the crime they commit. But somehow we have a magical fucking list, and the exemplar we're going to use of all the horrible shit happening in Seattle is some white dude. Dude, folks, people, wake the fuck up. You're being gaslit. You're being fooled. This financialized bullshit economy where neighbor has been turned against neighbor is evil. And all this talk of globalism and outsourcing and comparative advantage is the oncologist telling you, ignore the tumors, ignore the growing masses. That's simply outsourcing. You go to see your oncologist and you say, oncologist, I've got another bump. And your oncologist says, no. That's just auto worker jobs going to India. That's just textile jobs going to Mexico. Yeah. Another thing, folks, I don't hate Mexicans or Indians or Russians or Chinese people or Europeans. I don't have particularly good feelings about Danish people, but I don't think any rational person should, you know. But the bottom line is this. This isn't about ethnicity. It isn't even about nationality. But it is about neighbors and communities. And good communities don't turn on their neighbors. Good communities don't sell out their neighbors. But this fucking financialized economy has turned neighbor against neighbor. And then it's become quite easy to say, oh, the foreigner, the person from far away, I prefer that person to the very person next door that is drowning. I prefer the foreigner to the person next door to me, the person right in front of me that's starving. And of all the examples of the horrible abuses of homeless people or derelicts, or dare I say, undocumented people too, because a lot of these people, yes, are also homeless. I was in the food bank line last winter. Thank you very much. Yeah. Somehow they don't end up on the magical Como documentary, Seattle's Dying. Wake the fuck up. They're telling you to turn on each other. They're doing this in every country on earth. Is it any accident they're doing it here? Is it any accident that it happens here probably almost more than anywhere else? It's more successful. They turn you on each other. They turn you on your neighbors. They tell you that your family is shit. In fact, they turn brother and sister and father and son and mother and daughter against each other as well. And I, you know what, folks? I think there's a book that talks about this, and a certain book within the book that talks about this. It starts with an R and ends with Asians, like Revelations. The Great Deceiver wants us to be separate. The Great Deceiver wants us to believe in artificial connection. The Great Deceiver wants us to believe in made-up religions, like the central bank religion. The Great Deceiver would love it if this weekend, instead of, you know, helping someone or visiting with family or friends, or God forbid going to church, that you went around looking at homes, to flip a home, to buy a home. Maybe you'll make 20% off that home. The Great Deceiver won't tell you that what you're really doing is pushing more and more people into the streets. That in a fractional, mathematical sense, if you believe in any of the fucking bullshit, scientific, upside down, materialistic bullshit you claim to believe in, the Great Deceiver will tell you, add up the fucking maths, you fucking dumbass. Your participation in the shelter scheme pushes people into the streets. This is the end game of the Great Promise. This is the end game of the Great Promise, and it wouldn't matter if it was this bullshit financialized banker capitalism or communism. The final outcome is the same. You will be sent to places. Your children will be taken away. Your life will become worthless, and the human race will be damned. When the Great Deceiver sells a central bank to a country, it never says those things. It never says that once you buy into us, you're buying into the devil, but yeah, welcome to hell. So go ahead and go out searching at properties and homes today. And so you know, folks, if you're saying that, well, Dan, are you saying that realtors are evil and that realty is evil? Listen, folks, I have a dream of starting a water company. Now, of course, it's one of my many dreams. And the goal of this company is to sell water, fresh, clean water to people at a fair price. I would love to go into that business, but here's what I would never do. I would never try to claim that inflation with respect to my water is a sign of something positive. In fact, over time, I would hope that people would pay less for the water I produce, and yet still I would make a reasonable profit. Not much more than what's reasonable. And what's reasonable, frankly, that is a prayer and a meditation between myself and God. But the point is, it shouldn't be more than the single digit points. And if it's the single digit points, it should be low and not high. That what we're talking about at most is that 4 or 5%. We're not talking about making 80% profits. We're not talking about making 50% profits. At most, if you're selling water, you should make a little bit of profit, and most of that should go to essentially reinvestment. That's my philosophy of food, water, and shelter. Do you have a right to make money? Of course you do. Do you have a right to make money in such a way that your neighbor starves or dies of thirst or freezes in the cold? You need to meditate on that. Because if you believe there's no limit, that literally there's no limit to how much a home should cost, that somehow that shitty-ass shack in Fremont that is falling apart, filled with mold, is somehow worth $1 million. I'm telling you, folks, you need to wake the fuck up. Because what you're doing is you're not just killing your neighbor, you're killing yourself, you're killing your soul. Anywho, have a great Sunday, and I'll talk to you later.